Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Ed, Phil, and we're psyched to have today with us Ron Bickle from Megan Financial, and I say from, formerly with Megan Financial, right?
That's right.
And you're retired.
Retired
He's
last
walking the walk.
April.
That's awesome. Oh, he retired last April?
Yeah.
And you've made it this long?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Surprisingly.
You've beaten the odds. Sorry. Do you live a clean life?
Pretty much.
Yeah, good?
Yeah.
Close enough.
And so, all right.
Looks very in shape.
Yeah, you look good. How old are you?
70.
Nice. Good for you, man. You were a financial advisor for Megan Financial, which obviously, as everybody knows, big sponsor of the show.
Yep.
Does a wonderful, wonderful job for the members of the National Coalition of Labor.
With lifelong financial advice.
And what's the price of that, Ed?
$0.00.
That's a good price.
Yeah.
All right. So what did you do for Megan and for how long?
I was a financial planner for 25 years. Started in late in 99.
Okay.
And, you know, we started growing it when Ron Whittingham and I and our old boss, who retired quite a few years ago now, there were just four of us. One girl that answered the phone. Mm-hmm. We did our own paperwork. We did everything on our own. And now there's over 40 employees at Megan.
That's awesome.
Serving about 20 unions or so.
At least, right?
And then all the MCL unions.
And all the MCL unions as well, right? So, and what did you do before you went to Megan Financial?
I was a manager at a car dealership in Cal City, Illinois.
Cal City.
It was a good...
I love Cal City.
Joe Hennessy's River Oaks Ford. You learn a lot in that business.
You learn a lot in Cal City, that's for sure. So let's talk about why you're here. You gave advice to people during
25
their,
years,
right?
Yes.
While they're working, et cetera. And now you're on the other side of it.
That's right.
And tell us, what's the perspective from that side, from the retiree side now?
You know, if you do it right and, you know, have some things to keep you busy, which I do, you know, just like a lot of labor individuals, you put off those home projects and things.
Yeah, sure.
So I started doing that, but I also, last summer, I had some plans to get some things done, but I golfed a lot.
Good for you.
And
it can wait.
Again, like a lot of our union members, they, you don't travel a lot. You know, you don't want to take up too much time. You don't get paid to take time.
Oh, no,
off.
You're looking in the building trades. If you're not around for work and that call comes and you're in Florida and you miss that job and it might be a 6-month job, you know, nothing you can do about that. Right.
So you do little short drives where you can be back after the weekend and things. My wife and I both worked a lot of hours and we decided to take a long vacation for the first time.
Yeah.
Both of us could do things over the phone, get back to the office, you know, because I had clients calling in with questions nobody else knew.
Yeah.
Because of that individual, I knew them very well. You sit down with them for an hour at their kitchen table, and you know a lot about them that somebody else picking up the phone for me when I'm not there. And the same with all the guys at Megan. You know, you want to talk to those people and make sure that they're ready.
Yeah, and they're your people.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you have a vested interest in making sure that those people are taken care of. I know what you mean, and it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that we've always said about you guys, the experience has borne this to be true, that you'll sit with somebody at the kitchen table, right? You'll sit with them and
every
family.
Every time, yeah.
And they get a sense of trust in you.
Yeah.
Right?
You,
the financial planner, not just Megan as an institution, but you, the financial planner, just like they have a trust in their union.
Right.
Right? And the union endorses your company, for example. They're not sending somebody to some shyster.
And I think one of the most important things that we always have to remind people about with Megan is that what makes you different from, you know, just sort of someplace on the street is you are fiduciaries. So you have an obligation that whatever advice you provide for the member, it's in their best interest. So if there's another product that could bring in more fees or whatever, you can't recommend that. You have to recommend what's in the member's best interest. So I think that just knowing that, it puts people's mind at ease.
Yeah, fiduciaries become a word that everybody uses, and it's being overused. We were practicing that well before it was forced on everybody, which it should be. Mm-hmm. You know, they there are
not,
a lot.
Not for long.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
What were some of the most frequently asked questions you would get from members in retirement? Like, what's some of the common threads?
Well, they want to know if their money's going to last.
Right.
And that's obviously pretty, you know, pretty well, you know, on their minds. And they didn't, you know, a lot of the guys don't realize how good a shape they're in.
Right.
Union guys, a lot of them have a fixed income, you know, with a pension. And then they have their either a 401k or an annuity, most of them call it, because it's contributed by multiple contractors and things over their career. So they use an annuity as the method to collect the money. And, you know, so we're actually have started a while back, starting with the young guys, right, either in or right out of apprentice school, and, you know, talk to them about how to invest their money in their plans. And if they have other monies they want to invest, what to do with it. We don't pressure them for the other monies or anything
So I want to stop you there for a second, because we've been talking about an annuity with our coalition, and we're contemplating starting our own. And you know, once again, I don't know what I don't know until we learn all this stuff. But there are different types of, you know, and everybody calls them annuities, but they're really 401ks or 403bs, et cetera, right? But the word is annuity, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, for a defined contribution plan.
Yeah. And so some unions have it where you can self-direct your money, right?
Right.
Other unions have it where here's the money, it's going into that fund, we'll see you in 30 years, right? Others have it where, like, you can take money out, you can take loans against it, you can do this, you can do that. So it's all over the map, right?
Right.
And you guys will understand each union's individual nuances of their annuities, correct?
Absolutely.
And then advise them, like, hey, you might not want to take an early distribution on that because you're going to get taxed the hell out of it, right?
Taxed and penalized.
Taxed and penalized.
Yeah. You pay the highest, whatever tax bracket you're in, plus a 10% penalty.
So whatever, add 10% to it.
Right.
And our members tend to be in, you know, pretty high tax brackets, right?
Pretty decent, yeah.
Yeah, so you're giving them that kind of advice, right?
Sure.
Fiduciary, tax advice, when to pull it, et cetera.
Yeah, it's called savings. Just save it. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And if you don't have one, you'll help people start their own. Because not every union has them.
That's right. That's right.
So you'll help people, like, hey, you want to, you know, divert whatever it is, blank number of dollars per month, we'll invest it for you. And, you know, the way I did it, and tell me if I'm speaking out of school here, but when we started our retirement enhancement fund is what we called our annuity at 150,
right?
They gave you kind of a couple of different choices, like literally like five or seven choices, I think. And ours was idiot proof, right? It said, what year are you going to retire?
Yeah, I mean, everybody would default
like the Fidelity blank year that I'm going to retire.
That's right.
Yeah, like, and that's what I just went, that's where I just put my money.
Mm-hmm.
And
we didn't always have those funds that you could project like
we
that.
We did not.
We didn't. You know, they weren't available in the industry, and they started that probably after 2008.
Is it a good idea?
It's a great idea.
So like in that way, you don't have year funds? Yeah.
So you just basically say, okay, I'm going to work for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
My retirement date is going to be blank day, and there's a fund that's called blank fund, know, 2050,
right?
Right.
And it's going to change the investments as it goes, if I'm not mistaken, right? Doesn't it get more conservative as you get older?
Yes.
Like less stocks, more bonds. It automatically kind of rebalances itself based on your age.
Right, because the date, the 2050 doesn't change.
Right.
But I had always kind of done it. So somebody was 2050, we're still quite a ways from there. I would have them take some and put it in 2060 or 2065.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
A little more aggressive, because you've got more time than, you know, than a guy who's, you know, 2030. And so you know, and you can change that over time. You can make changes.
Do people ask you about picking individual stocks?
You can't within most annuities.
Right.
None that I've seen, anyway. So, they ask that, and some of them would like to do this. They can do that with their own money, obviously. Yeah. But
most of the time, it's probably not a great idea.
No.
I'm going to beat the market.
Yeah. Is crypto part of the asset mix?
Yeah, that was a good question, Phil. Yeah. That's my next question.
Not as of last year when I retired, but there's going to be some that have to come out with it. But a lot of
the ETFs, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of retirement funds learned their lesson back in 2000 when the dot-coms all fell through.
Sure.
Companies came out with Putnam, just to name one, was had come out with a really aggressive fund that was available to some of the unions. And so when that all started falling apart, it in 98 and 99, it made about 190%.
Whoa.
And so everybody, but it wasn't available to the union at that time. When they seen the returns in 99,
we want this.
A lot of people jumped in it with 100%, which we never recommended that.
Right.
But not everybody asked us at that time. We were really just getting our wheels going. And the 2000, it lost about 80%.
Yeah. Right.
And
it never came back.
And not really. Yeah. No.
To get into that, you should have to sign a waiver that says, I will not get up and complain at the union.
Well, unions. That's right. Unions really did, pull back after that.
For sure.
And that might have been the start of them thinking about those retirement year plans, because that just works out really well. You don't have to sit there and figure out which funds you wanted, because you had to do that, and then they would a lot of people put it in the stable value fund,
right,
which will make about 2 to 3% maybe overall. The time,
if you have a pension, that sort of substitutes for the stable value, I would think, right? I mean, if you're somebody who's got that's like a fixed income portion, so you can probably be a little bit more aggressive on the other side. Not insane about it, but
that's right, because you could see two guys that started in, let's say, 1980, and 30 years go by, and they both worked the exact same amount of hours. If a guy was in the stable value fund versus just a average...
like an S&P fund, something like that.
Yeah, an S&P, or even a combination of S&P and some bonds and things, that guy was, $100,000 ahead.
Yeah.
Or more. It depends. But,
what is the S&P return? Like, what's the historical returns?
Pretty close to 11%.
11?
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's on average, and the thing is, they got to live through 2008s, years like that, 2022.
I remember.
Any time there was a big drop in the market, people would panic and then get out of it after they lost. Then you'll never get back to where you were.
What do they call it, locking in your losses?
Yeah, that's exactly what you do.
Something like if Trump would have invested his inheritance in the S&P.
So you're reading my mind today. Yeah. I feel like you're literally stealing every single thing I'm about to say. Thanks so much.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut. But
no, keep going with that.
It was something like his net worth would have been 5 times what it is today. Yeah.
If he just took that $400 million that his daddy gave him, right, and just put it in that S&P fund and didn't do an absolute thing, he'd actually be legitimate. He would have...
billions and 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 billions.
Wow, that's a lot of billions.
Instead, he got an apartment and he painted it with real gold. It's like giving a 6-year-old money.
And he bankrupted a casino.
More than one.
That ain't easy to do. That's not easy to do.
The house always wins. Yeah. Not always.
You know what? Here's what we do. We ask Donald Trump to open up a new casino so we could finally win at blackjack.
There you go.
All right, listen. Thank you so much for coming in. We got to take a quick break. We were talking with Ron Bickel from Megant Financial.
And
Ron,
people can find you at Megant.com, M-E-G-E-N-T.com.
Megant.com. Thanks so much, Ron.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Ken.
Investment Executive, 15321 South 94th Avenue, Suite 100, Orland Park, Illinois, 60462, 708-444-1090. Securities and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisors, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, a broker-dealer and a registered investment advisor. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity. The views depicted on this broadcast are general in nature and are provided for informational use only. The views are not necessarily those of Cetera Advisors, LLC. They should not be considered as specific investment or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. Keep in mind that investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Investment decisions should be based on individuals' own goals, time horizon, and tolerance for risk. Consult your investment and/or tax professional regarding your unique situation.